Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Christ Jesus, his only Son, our risen Lord. Our text this day is from our gospel lesson, John chapter 20, one of my personal favorites for introducing confirmands to the purpose of Scripture. The Apostle John writes it right in there that these are written that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. He tells you why he wrote the gospel. He tells you the whole point of the great message. Our lesson today is associated with Doubting Thomas. Everybody has this concept. That's the name he's usually known by. Words mean things, and I think connotations sometimes have a stronger emotional power than the actual denotation of the word, where it's, you know, oftentimes is considered to be a negative thing to be doubting. Another word associated, I think, with this concept is stubborn. Thomas is definitely stubborn. Before the crucifixion and after. And then his stubbornness changes again after this night, the second Sunday in our gospel lesson. Stubbornness is a fact of life for a lot of us. I know for myself it's a sometimes overwhelming urge to never want to give up on an idea that I'm positive is correct. I mean, no one knowingly holds to wrong concepts. But sometimes we hold on to something that we should have realized was false in the first place, and definitely by now we should know it's not true and we should let go. Thomas, I think, is an example of some stubbornness that is both good and bad. And what I appreciate about our Holy Scriptures is that there's not a lot of whitewash going on. The Holy Spirit doesn't inspire our writers to only write the things that are good, but he also includes the things that are not so good about the story. Some really terrible things about some of our heroes are recorded. Here, Thomas is portrayed as someone who doesn't believe at all and absolutely won't hear of it. But then at the end, he confesses his faith. And in the end of his life, he shows that through his martyrdom. You can almost imagine the tension in the room when Thomas comes back. Everyone's been holed up in the upper room and hiding. They gave up Friday. They all ran away. But then a few of them went to look for Jesus Sunday morning to perform the rituals that they thought were necessary. According to their religious law, the things they knew needed to be done to show honor to him, and yet they weren't able to because he wasn't there. He had risen. He had risen indeed. So he was gone. And Thomas wasn't even in the room hiding with the rest of his friends. He was off hiding somewhere else. So when he shows up, everyone's trying to convince him, Jesus is alive. We saw him. And you can almost imagine the despair in Thomas's thoughts when he says, no, we saw him die. We ran away, but we stood off at a distance and hid and watched this terrible crime. We know he's dead. If there's one thing the Romans are good at, it's killing their prisoners. I don't believe for a second that he's alive. There is no way you're telling me that the Romans somehow took him down off the cross and he wasn't dead. And the vast desperation that must have been from the various people trying to tell him, that's not what we're saying at all. We know he died Friday, but what we're trying to tell you is that today he lives. He rose. Our Lord and Savior is alive among us, walking around. He cooked fish for Peter. He ate with him this morning. He really stood here in this room among us. And he gave us a gift of being able to forgive sins in his name. But Thomas is having none of that. His stubbornness has switched a complete 180 degrees to where he no longer believes anything about anybody telling him about all the great things that Jesus has done or can do. His frustration is one of, I believed that he was the Son of God. I believed he was the King of Israel. I believed he was going to get rid of the Romans. I believed he could walk on water and heal the sick. And yet he died. I don't know what to believe anymore, but I don't believe you. I don't believe any of this. He goes on to say, unless I stick my finger into his hand, my hand into his side, unless I touch his wounds, I won't believe it's really him. Now that is going a long way for someone who a few days before believed that he was the King of Israel. To even approach a king, to touch a king, was amazingly dangerous. And here is Thomas saying, there's no way this is true. I not only want to approach him, touch him, I want to touch the wounds. I want to see that he is truly this person that we saw die on Friday. Because unless I see those fatal wounds, I'm not going to believe it's really him. Christ gives him this gift, makes him wait a week, and they are yet again hiding in terror, hiding from the authorities in this upper room, shielded away for fear of all those around them. And Christ walks through walls and appears among them. Goes right to Thomas saying, here, here's my hands. Here's my side. The thing you wanted most, this I will give you. Feel the wounds. Know that this fatality was real. But the first fruits of the resurrection is just as real. I stand among you as a living person, a living God. True God, true man, I am alive. And I give to you the gift of faith. I give you what you said you needed most. And Thomas confesses his faith. My Lord and my God. And again, a complete turnaround, a stubbornness, a clinging to faith that he does not give up, even unto death. The faith that Thomas takes out of that room that night is a faith that will take him away from Jerusalem, away from Israel, far away even to the lands of the Indian subcontinent, where the Hindu priests of Kali murder him. Because he won't stop confessing the faith that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus is the one true God who lives to give salvation to man. To give forgiveness of sins to all. All Thomas had to do to avoid this murder was to stop confessing that Jesus was Lord. He, along with the other disciples, excluding John, the other apostles rather, excluding John, they all met deaths ugly and cruel. All Peter had to do to avoid being crucified was to stop confessing that Jesus was Lord. But he couldn't do that because he knew it was true. Because he had seen with his own eyes the power of the first fruits of the resurrection of life. That he knew that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. And by believing in him, you may have life in his name. And he wanted to share that gift with everyone around him. All his younger brother had to do, Andrew, was stop confessing that Jesus was Christ and that he wouldn't have to be crucified. But Andrew wouldn't stop either. The apostles, one by one, met ugly and painful deaths because they believed so deeply, so stubbornly, that Jesus is the Christ, that the powers that be put them all to death. All they had to do to avoid martyrdom was to be quiet, was to burn incense, was to confess that the Caesar in Rome was God, or a God. They could have multiple gods. It was okay, but you just have to burn incense to Caesar, and you can live. Thomas wouldn't do that. The priests of Kali would have none of that. Wouldn't have some other god rivaling, saying that he was the one true God. The Romans wouldn't have any of Andrew or Paul or Peter saying there was one true God. But the stubbornness of their faith, the clinging to it, they wouldn't give it up. Because they knew it was true. They knew they had to share this faith, this gift of life with everyone around them. This is the stubbornness that I hope you can take away today. A stubborn clinging to the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that by believing in him, you will have life in his name. A life everlasting, a faith that you can share with those around you. A faith that gives life. A faith that gives healness, forgiveness. A faith that raises people from the dead. We'll confess in a few minutes that we believe that life is everlasting. Not just dying here on this world and going to be with Christ spiritually, but that Christ will return and raise us from the dead bodily, that we will see him with our own eyes, that life everlasting is a true thing to confess and stubbornly cling to never give up on, to live our lives as if Christ spoke the truth, because he did. And may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds into life everlasting in Christ Jesus. Amen.